And away we go on a Monday morning. How's it going, everybody? Hope you had a good weekend. JR, Simmer, and Hammer with you on this Monday morning, sixth day of April 2020. And we got a couple of really nice days on the way for the next 2 days. A lot of sunshine around and highs up to 12 degrees. A little chilly right now, a little frost on the windshield if you do park outside. You got to drive anywhere at this hour. -1, the current temperature. And with that, we say good morning to Sean Simpson. How are you this morning, Simmer?
I'm excellent. You know what? I'm so excited about coming to work. I actually showed up yesterday morning, thought it was Monday. That's the state we're in right now, where we certainly have a job, and we have a great job, and weekends are, I like the weekend. That was a long one. How are you guys doing?
Good. Yeah, well, if you thought this was a long weekend, next weekend is a bad weekend for you, because it actually is a long weekend. Friday is Good Friday, yeah, and well, for a lot of people who, well, there's a lot of people that don't have work right now, and then really the only people who are working are those deemed to be, quote, essential workers, and those people usually have to work on stats anyway, so I'm not sure whether this really qualifies. You know what we should do?
What?
When things return to normal,
yeah,
we need to be able to put a long weekend in lieu in place. You know how you really like weekends? Everybody really likes the weekend, right?
And everybody really likes the long weekend, especially.
Well, yeah. We're still into spring. It's not really that nice yet.
Yeah.
But we should be able to if we want, defer this long weekend to sometime in the summer.
Yeah.
I don't know when, but be able to defer the long. Who's with me on this?
I'm with you. I've been here 8 years, and I've worked every long weekend. Can I defer all of them in the past, or do we have to go forward? Would you guys also agree, though, that there's nothing? I'll take the Friday over the Monday. Are you on board with having the Friday off versus a Monday off on a long weekend?
What you mean? Actually, just exchange it?
No.
I'd rather have the Friday off than the Monday.
I'd rather have the Friday. I'm not a Sunday guy, so even if I have Monday off, I won't really. I think a Friday, Saturday, Sunday, as we get into better weather and you see the forecast for the next couple of days, give me Friday as my holiday every day versus a Monday. That's what I'm saying.
Ooh, yeah, I don't know about that.
No,
Interesting debate there. I'm not too sure.
We're good because, you know, essentially, I mean,
for a job that ends at 10 a.m. on Friday,
say, at 10:15 to 10:30, you're walking out the door. A lot of people are just easing into their day.
That took me a while when we first started, and even last summer. I'm walking out the front door at 9 a.m. saying, hey, good day. And then people are like, what? They're just walking in. You got to get your head around on that.
I think it depends what kind of person you are. If you're a partier and a go-getter, you're looking for that Friday to be off. If you're a little slower and you like to wind down, have that little extra day of recovery, I think you're more of a Monday guy.
That sounds more like a partier that needs Monday to recover. That's a cottage guy that gets lit all weekend and then needs the Monday off.
Right? I'm a Monday guy. Okay. I'm going Monday.
Yeah, I'm going with the tried and true. Although this weekend, as we said, this is the one long weekend in which the holiday is on the Friday. So there we go. So, yes, a long weekend straight ahead. A couple of beautiful weather days ahead of that. And then I get a little bit cooler with some showers around middle of the week. And the long weekend, they're not encouraging people. Depends where your cottage is, I guess, right? Obviously, if you're in Ontario, you can't cross right now, or they're at least limiting it from time to time, people crossing the border to maybe get up to the cottage. But I think they're also encouraging people to not go to the cottage in case something not great
happens.
You have to go to the hospital. They don't want to overload the hospital with other things. So anyway.
Well, and if you also get to the long weekend and you want to go see some church services, just head down south, like south of the United States.
Oh my goodness.
Like, you just have to, I'm not going to get into, I lived in the United States for 20 years. There's great people, great places. There are certain times, though, as a country where you feel awfully proud of people taking things seriously and seeing some of the footage of people coming out of churches that were packed in the United States on Sunday certainly leaves you shaking your head.
It does. And just I don't want to even go down that road. So the weekend was long. What was the highlight for you?
No, I was nice. Actually, Amir and I were together. No, it was good. Yesterday, just being a little bit cold and rainy, so had a couple of runs, finished off Old Ozark, went through a bunch of different movies, made some nice food. I will say that's one thing, not that I'm any great chef, It has been nice to be home and cook up some nice meals and enjoy some things. So it was actually nice. It just felt like yesterday. I was really going hard 80s. I was trying to find a Weekend at Bernie, which we did not want to purchase.
No, why?
Because it was just bad
Hollywood.
No. But we wanted to just watch just something that makes you laugh. And watch that bad grandpa. Watch Birdcage yesterday, which is hilarious and doesn't seem nearly as crazy as it was when it was released in 1996. Just some comedy, just something to have a little laugh and have some fun. So I don't want to say a long weekend, but as yesterday, I'm just counting on. I need some nice weather, and when I see a little bit of snow in the forecast for next weekend, I'm not thrilled about that. But hey, that's Canada, and that's April, and we'll deal with it.
Oh, we cracked open the barbecue, got that bad boy lit on Saturday,
nice,
and on Sunday, did up some nice chicken wings on Saturday, some good old steaks on Sunday, had a good old feast.
A lot of good olds.
It was turned into
a southerner, apparently.
It was a two-meal weekend. Like, I had a big breakfast, skip lunch, Saturday and Sunday, went right to dinner, and dinner was a nice big meal, too. So that was pretty much the highlight there. I had to find some propane because I was not going to head out to Costco. I thought that was going to be an all-day job, and I wasn't really looking forward to hanging around Costco all day. So found one out on the outskirts on Prince of Wales Drive at an Ultramar. No lineup, a little bit more expensive than the old Costco, but took care of business.
All right.
Solving problems over here. That's what I'm doing.
Oh, yeah, okay.
That's my wife. Find propane. I can find propane, but I'm not going to Costco to go.
How
get
did
the
you
propane.
Find it? Did you look it up, or did you call every gas station until you found one that has it?
It was a little Google action, and then we ended up. This one didn't say it had propane, and on my way to another gas station, we actually drove by this one, and I said, hey, there's a propane tank there. And then we just did a little U-ey and pulled over and got the propane.
So you guys are doing this as a group, because I thought this was one of your great opportunities to get outside by yourself, drive around town for hours pretending to look for propane.
Great point.
So you're being guided by the entire family? Like, this is a family trip to find propane?
It was the entire family. You cannot be indoors. You cannot be stuck. You got to go for a little tour. All right, and we also dropped some carrots off. It was on the way to drop some carrots off, too, to my daughter's equestrian park, where she had riding lessons. Those have, of course, since been postponed. But we like to drop off carrots for the horses, too.
Hang on now. All right, is this – and listen, I –
And everybody wins.
I understand that everyone is trying to keep their business going as best they can. Are they keeping your money and she's having virtual riding lessons? Anything like that?
There's no virtual.
No virtual
there's no
horse
virtual
riding lessons
to hop okay. on hop right. on a horse. No, okay. It's just, hey, we'll be back when we're back. But if you want to drop off some carrots for the horses, hey, we'd really appreciate it. You can't give it to them. Yeah. Unfortunately, you just got to stop on.
Hang
the side
on, you
got to
socially distance. You got to physically distance from horses now?
From the horses too. You got to take a step back.
Okay, because I know, you know, like when you're out for a walk with a dog, you're not supposed to, even though human nature wants you to pet the dog as it walks up to you. You're not supposed to. So, and I understand the same would be for horses, but you can't just put the carrot in your hand and let the horse eat the carrot out of your hand.
The instructions from the email were you drop those carrots off at the top of the driveway.
We'll take care of it. Well,
you're not coming on the property.
They had a report yesterday out of the United States. Was it the New York
yes,
Zoo?
Yes.
Some animals testing.
The tiger. The big tiger.
Yeah, and tigers have certainly been relevant in U.S. society recently. So that had me a little kind of made me wonder what the hell's going on now. So
bonus episode dropping this week, too, for old Tiger King, if you haven't had your fill. How long is the original Netflix docuseries?
He's tested positive in jail, right? Is that the news? Or
no, there's another, as he just said, there's another episode of Tiger King coming out.
Okay. It was announced episode.
It was announced Saturday. I guess this, and everything comes back to sports at the end of the day.
Yeah.
So Justin Turner of the Los Angeles Dodgers is a big fan of the show, and he had on the zoo owner.
Okay.
On the show, and then the zoo owner said that they're going to be filming another episode.
Okay.
And Netflix is adding one more episode. It'll be on. Now, this story I found was from the weekend. It said it'll be on next week.
Okay.
He said, we're filming it tomorrow. I think I found this story on Saturday. So they either filmed it yesterday or today, and it's going to be on at some point, I guess maybe later this week. So if you're a big Tiger King fan, there you go.
It's
going to be another episode.
Arcs.
Yeah, I wonder timing-wise, too. I would assume this is one of those things probably would have taken off, but could not have had better timing to release it. Now, as far as yourself, JR, on the weekend, saw a strong second-place finish in the trivia.
Big.
Now, is that family versus family individually?
No, this is my wife's. Well, normally I would agree with that, but this. No, I thought you were actually wah-wah-wahing the actual contest.
No.
Any type of competition is very welcome at this moment in time.
Oh, for sure, for sure.
Second out of 23, I think, is pretty strong.
Yeah.
A lot of smart people.
Are you really happy with that, though, honestly?
Yeah, it was pretty good. It was pretty good. My wife's cousin organized this, so he had 70, 80 questions, which we thought, oh, my God, we're going to be here for 3 hours. This is Saturday night, 8 o'clock. Yeah. Whipped through that in an hour and 10 minutes.
Nice.
It was pretty good. He just asked the question. There's 23 of us on Zoom. Various people from their friends to...
But how do you chime in? Like, or how does this work?
You don't. He just, okay, question number one, number two, number three, and then at the end, and then he goes through the answers, and, you know, it's honesty at the end of the
day. Oh,
it's
a tally. Okay.
Yes,
okay.
Exactly.
Okay.
And obviously, if you have your phone in your hand and you want to cheat, you can cheat. I can say that my family, our household, which consisted of myself, my wife, and my oldest daughter... did not cheat once, did not look anything up, and came in, I think, of a possible 95. I think we got 79. We are one out of the lead.
That's not bad at all.
Yeah. And not a lot of sports questions either. A lot of entertainment. Let me give you the three sports questions that I remember off the top of my head.
Now, do you also have any of these ones when you're doing the group decision? And when you decide and you decide wrongly and they have it right, was there any of those happening?
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's remembered. Oh,
those are the best.
Don't get me wrong. I told you it was blank.
Exactly.
Yes. Okay.
The, sports.
The Toronto Raptors won the NBA championship last year. What was the name of the trophy that they won?
Wow, the Larry O'Brien.
Larry O'Brien is correct. Yeah. Nicely done on that one.
Now, what I'm trying to think if it had not been for the Raptors winning that, and if you had not paid attention for a few years, I probably would have had a little more difficulty with that.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh, okay. For sure on that one. Yeah. Wayne Gretzky is one of five players to have scored 50 goals in 50 games or less.
Yeah.
How many games did it take him to score 50 goals in his 50 and
50? 39.
39 is correct on that one. I got that one right. This one.
Was that the sequence against the Flyers where he hits the empty net?
Yes.
He's coming through the neutral zone. I don't know if that's Marshy that's at the blue line. Somebody's a little flat-footed as he comes just way. And this is a part of, and we had Doug Gilmer on Friday. He talked about Dale Hawerchuk and not being a great skater. Remember there was kind of that thought with Gretzky. And then you watch the early Gretzky in Edmonton and the pace that he had coming up the ice, absolutely incredible.
Yes.
And what's the score in that game when he's on the ice with the net empty looking for his fifth goal?
Oh, I think they might have been going up 7-4 or 8-4.
Jersey's here.
Yeah. Or no, maybe it wouldn't have been because Philly had pulled the goaltender.
Yes, exactly.
It would have been Keenan at the time.
Yep.
So yeah.
No,
yeah.
it was a close game.
Okay, yeah.
I'm guessing at that I'm going 7-5, 8-6, 9-7 for that era. Probably would have been. I'm guessing.
Yeah.
All right, so that was that one. The third one. This one caused a bit of controversy.
Ooh, okay.
I was right, and some guy chiming in saying, I want to challenge that.
Ooh, challenge.
Yes. Michael Jordan played professional baseball.
Yeah.
What team did he play for?
Chicago White Sox.
That is incorrect.
Well, he played AAA baseball.
AAA, yeah.
Okay. What team did he play for?
Oh, yeah. It was in the White Sox farm system.
Correct.
Right?
Yes. But he did not play for the White Sox, even though Buddy chimed in that he played for the White Sox.
Okay,
did
okay.
not play a game for the White
Sox. You'd have me on that one. What was the team?
The Birmingham. I don't know. I just put Birmingham.
Okay,
I think it was the Barons. But I'm not exactly positive, but
okay.
Birmingham was accepted. Nice job by me
on that one. That
Give
is
me
strong.
That one.
You're an expert.
Because I had originally actually said to my wife, okay, write down White Sox. And then I said, you know what? I'm not sure on that one. Let's go with Birmingham. I was sure of Birmingham. I was not sure of White Sox.
Would most people have got if you said, who did Michael Jordan play for in basketball other than the Bulls? Would people have guessed the Wizards? Do you think most people would remember that? Or would they go Washington
In
Bullets?
Our particular contest, not a lot of sports
people,
fans, probably not.
Yeah.
No. How about what number he wore? Dan, don't blurt it out.
Okay.
Give people a second to think about it. Wore 23 for his entire career with the Bulls.
Yeah.
Did not wear 23 with the Washington Wizards.
Oh.
Or another kind of an odd number.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know that I've ever seen the story about why he wore what he wore, but he wore number, do you know?
I have no idea. I actually watched him play a few times, we were actually kind of co-workers there. So I have a signed letter from him at home. So.
Good buddies, yeah. No. He wore number 45.
Really?
Okay. With the Washington Wizards.
Wondered so if 23 with the players from the Wizards / Bullets, there would have been Wes Unseld, and then was it Alvin Hayes? Alvin Hayes? I'm trying to think of retired numbers for the franchise.
Oh, I see.
Or did he just think, you know what, it'd be in bad taste to wear 23?
I think it was like new start.
It was pretty sad to watch him at the time, too, right? Athleticism and everything was long gone.
I have zero memory of him playing for the Wizards. Yeah, no, zero, other than he shouldn't be playing now.
No, for
that
sure,
was it.
For sure.
All right, 6:18. We'll take a break. We have we'll catch up on the weekend that was in the world of sports. No, not a whole heck of a lot. A lot of it revolves around, well, surprise, surprise, COVID-19. But there is some news, so we'll get into that. We do have a little bit of actual sports news to get into as well from the world of football and the world of baseball. And a little bit of hockey as well. So we'll get into all of it when we come back. Hope you had a good weekend. Glad you're with us here on a Monday morning. You are listening to Sports Radio TSN 1200.
This is TSN 1200.
Welcome back, 6:23 here on this Monday morning. JR, Simmer, and Hammer with you. Coming up on the show, Pierre McGuire will join us as per usual. We'll talk to him after 8. We'll also talk some hockey with James Boyd, general manager of the Ottawa 67s. He will join us on the show at about 8:45. We'll wrap up the 67s OHL draft, which took place on Saturday. I think the better part of 6.5 or 7 hours to choose 15 players, including 15-year-old Nicholas Mulderhauer, which does not flow off the tongue that easily if you're a play-by-play guy, but he was the first-round draft pick out of Mississauga, a right wing who had 22 goals in 32 games, 5'9", 154.
Ooh.
This is when you know we're talking about 15-year-olds. Yeah, we're talking about 154-pounders. Yeah. Says Nathan MacKinnon is his favorite player. James Boyd said of Mulderhauer, rumored to go in the top 10. We were happy to take him at number 20. The old, we didn't think he'd be there.
You got to throw that out. It was going through their draft picks as well. And not to minimize, doesn't matter. Ty Domi back in the day was a 17th round pick of the Peterborough Petes. The final pick for the Ottawa 67s was the 300th pick. And at least you made the top 300.
That's right.
But that's you're going deep. If you can overcome those odds as the 300th selection. And the OHL, I can still think back in the day, they used to send you this nice brochure about it, and it was always called the priority selection, and that was what it was. And hey, big day for the Ottawa 67s, and for a lot of kids, probably a good thing this was done virtually, but very exciting, and lots of local flavor as well.
Yeah, it's actually always been done, I shouldn't say always, for several years it's been done virtually, they actually... You know, we've got the NFL draft coming up. That'll be virtual, as it were, for the first time. I'm thinking the NHL draft, when it's all said and done, may end up being the same way as well. But for the OHL, this was a kind of old hat. By the way, their second round pick, Brady Stonehouse of Blenheim, which is near Chatham. Same thing, 22 goals in 32 games. Here's his quote. This is from Don Brennan's column in the Ottawa Sun. Ottawa was my number one where I wanted to go. They have really good coaches. They can make players really develop their quote. And then he said, he was asked to compare yourself to an NHL player. Said, well, there's no player I like to copy. But he said, quote, I'd say if I had to compare, I'd say Brad Marchand, because he plays much bigger than he is and he's got a good shot. He's fast. Most people he plays against don't like him. Most people I play against don't like me.
Yeah.
End quote. So there you go.
Nice.
There's your money quote from second round pick, 26th overall, Brady Stonehouse.
Yeah, and 67. Also to that, I guess local news was DJ Smith's son was taken, the 25th pick?
25th,
there was
a
thought that he was going to go to Ottawa with the next pick, and those sneaky London Knights, the Hunter brothers, swooped in. And I was actually thinking of DJ Smith when we had the conversation with Corey Stillman, talking about his son playing on the team, but also living with the Billet family. Well, won't have to worry about that if you're the Smiths. And he's off to the London Knights, the arch rival of his Windsor Spitfires, when he played and coached, DJ Smith.
Yeah, we should mention, by the way, that actually the first local kid chosen was Sean Donovan's son, Jorian, who went to Hamilton, 6th overall. Dono was the coach of the Canada U18 team, so he played for him, obviously, his dad, and went 6th overall. Ben Bougeau of the same team went 19th to London, just ahead of Ottawa's pick, And then, as you mentioned, Colton Smith, who is DJ Smith's son, went 25th. So that Canada U18 team had three kids in the top 25 of the OHL draft. And there were two other kids from the area that went in the first round. Cedric Gaindon went 10th overall to Owen Sound. And we mentioned Ben Bougeau, 19th to London. So congratulations to all the kids that got chosen. As I saw many times on my Twitter timeline on Saturday and through the weekend from other players, players in the NHL, players who graduated from the OHL. Hey, just because you didn't get drafted doesn't mean you can't make it. And everybody, the name everybody circles right now, as far as NHL players that everybody knows, is Anthony Cirelli, who never was chosen, walked on to the Oshawa Generals and made the team as a walk-on, scored the Memorial Cup-winning goal in overtime, is now a key player with the Tampa Bay Lightning and is going to cash in as an RFA at the end of this season. So there are lots of examples. Just because you don't get chosen in the OHL draft, you can still overcome the odds.
Yeah, you really can. And for the kids, and that's, and I think Dono's wife on Facebook yesterday, I believe their son had his 16th birthday. Like, we're talking about babies. So when you think about kids that are passed over, the ones that always amaze me and how the OHL is combed over, I think back to Claude Giroux, to Mike Hoffman, to other players like that. And I think you'll even believe Matthew Barnaby. Local players that played in Ontario that aren't even drafted and then go to play. And for Claude Giroux especially, to be that quickly a first-round pick coming out of the queue and to now be, well, he's an NHL star, that shows you right there that, hey, you know what, there's a long process, and even with picking 300 or 400 players, there's going to be lots of guys that physically mature at a different time, come along at a different time, and lots of opportunity. And I think for most, you just hope they use that as motivation.
Yeah, and not to to get too far down the rabbit hole of the OHL draft, but I know there has been and still is a lot of angst over the fact that you know, we have these U18 teams here in Eastern Ontario where you don't have a minor midget team. You've got basically all 3 years combined, and so they can't play in a lot of the tournaments that are down in Toronto. So your opportunity to, quote, showcase yourself maybe isn't as good as it might be. But again, if you're a good player, they're going to find you. I would say for a kid who's maybe a maybe draft pick and maybe not, that might be the type of player where, you know, there's a chance you might get passed over. But but I know there's still a lot of talk about that. A lot of hockey parents that aren't necessarily that happy with the way things go around here.
Well, and you just said that. There's three kids that end up getting picked, and that is, you know what, they're going to find you. They're going to, we're not talking about you're out in Thunder Bay. So, no, you will. And also to the amount of rounds, to the amount of kids. And there's 20 teams. I mean, that's a part of the Ontario Hockey League. When you really look at supply and demand, if you're good enough for the most part, if you want to play, you will play.
All right. And we should mention, by the way, speaking of the 67s, and we're going to talk to this guy later on this morning as well, Noel Hoffenmeyer signed a contract, a pro contract, over the weekend as well. It's an American Hockey League deal with the Toronto Marlies. Of course, he's from Toronto. Just finished up his five-year career with the 67s this past year. 82 points, top-scoring defenseman in the league. When they do the league awards, pretty good chance he's going to be chosen as the defenseman of the year. Well, Noel Hoffenmeyer got a, of course, was drafted by Arizona, didn't end up getting offered a contract, but does end up getting a pro deal with the Marley. So for those that don't know, Simmer, when you sign an AHL deal, what does that really mean at the end of the day?
Well, it really doesn't mean anything other than you get a pro contract, and you're also going to an organization that, first of all, spends money, that will develop you, and at the end of the 2 years, quite simply, you're a free agent. It could be written into the contract, or most times there's at least an agreement that you almost have the right of first refusal, right? If you're going to get offered a contract by somebody else, is there an out in it after the first year? But it probably affords him the ability, because the Marlies pay very good money. It's the same path that everybody else is probably on in his peer group, right, where they've signed a three-year entry-level deal. So it's actually a smart move, and it really leaves his options. If he wants to work and develop in a very good situation with the Marlies, that he'll have an option to sign an NHL contract at 22 years old.
Right, and at the end of the day, if you're not a, you know, a first, you know, one of the high picks, first round or second round or whatever, you just want to play pro hockey. You want a chance to get better, showcase yourself. And as you said, at the end of a two-year deal, as a American Hockey League contract, you've got the opportunity to potentially shop yourself, depending on the wording of the contract.
Yeah, right? And if you're handling that properly and thinking about it, and I was talking to somebody about Chris Weidman over the weekend, the Ottawa Senators player, saying, well, hey, how come he hasn't gone over to Switzerland? He's 30 years old. Well, he likes to still play in the American Hockey League. But in the case of Hoffenmeyer, when you come out a junior, people are looking around, hey, do you want to go to Europe or try other things? You're just a junior hockey player. You do 2 years in the American League, league and if you progress, but maybe the North American game doesn't fit you, at that point, it would also open up some real nice options where he could probably slide into a European league and have a nice career for himself.
Yeah. All right. So look forward to talking to Noel Hoffenmeyer. That'll happen just after 9:30 this morning. And also on the docket for the show, we got a busy show ahead. Eric Macromella, our TSN legal analyst, will be by as well. Some interesting things transpired over the weekend, including the city of Calgary announced, I think this happened on Friday, they've announced that there'll be no big crowds allowed for anything until July 1st. So not that we think there's going to be any hockey or football, but for the Flames and the Stampeders, yeah. doesn't matter. If somehow those sports are back, you wouldn't be allowed to have any fans in the stands.
Yeah.
So we're getting into jurisdictional things now where pro sports might say, hey, we're going to be back on blank. And this just doesn't happen in Canada. This will be happening across cities in the United States as well, where they're going to say, you know what? Crowds are banned, man.
Yeah.
I don't care if your sport is back. You're not going to be allowed to open your stadium. And I just wonder from a legality standpoint, where how this might affect things.
Yeah, very much so. Looking in California, and they're wondering about the National Football League, the density of population in some major centers. You know what? We have so far to go to really comprehend where this is going to look like a few months from now. I guess not a surprise, because anything I've heard with the National Hockey League is kind of July related. Do they want to finish the rest of the regular season? They want to go to the playoffs. And then the other big event, of course, in Calgary would be in July, I believe, is the Calgary Stampede. And
right.
So now you're into other things, economic engine, trying to get crowds. But a smart move by the government. And like I said, that is for LA. Imagine New York. Like we've talked about the U.S. Open. For any of the major New York sports teams, if some of the leagues open, or for the NHL, if you look and say, hey, you know what? 90% of the cities are in great shape. Would you force the move of a few teams if you want to get a playoff on?
Well, it does not sound like professional sports, certainly team sports in North America, are going to be back anytime before probably the 1st of July. And that's best case scenario.
Yeah.
Could it happen sooner than that? Donald Trump would like it to happen. We're going to hear from the U.S. president who weighed in on this. Had a big conversation with the various sports commissioners from the various leagues over the weekend. So we're going to hear from Donald Trump, talk more about all the COVID sports news from the weekend when we come back. It's a Monday morning. We're glad you're with us. Hope you had a great weekend. You're listening to Sports Radio TSN 1200. Because we're back with our final week of the best 10 of the last 10. We got four more games for you this week. In fact, we got a game every single night leading up to the Good Friday long weekend holiday tonight. We're going to wrap up the Hamburglar run going back to 2015, 82nd and final game of the regular season, an incredible run that began in mid-February with Andrew Hammond going into the net, a guy nobody even heard of. And we all know where it went, and it ended up, game 82 was for that final playoff spot.
Here comes Moffat, down to the line, carries it in, has space, takes it, sends the puck to the side of the net, scores! Pageau comes in late! And flips it top shelf. Ottawa's up 2-1.
And they, of course, would go on to win that game in Philadelphia on that Saturday afternoon to clinch the playoff spot and cap that incredible run. And, of course, who was going to score what ended up being the go-ahead and game-winning goal in the game but J.G. Pageau right there.
Yeah, such a clutch player, Stone so good, and you really go back and review that. I still remember that first period, and Ian and myself here in studio working the game, Hammond just stood on his head, and you thought, my gosh, if he didn't do that, they lose that game. How sad that would have been, and we saw the reaction with it being an afternoon game in Philly. By the time they arrived back, certainly the fan base was awfully pumped up and ready to face the Montreal Canadiens again. So, no, that was a really, really cool day and a cool run.
Yeah, Andrew Hammond, who joined us on the show, midweek last week, I think Wednesday. If you missed it, it was a real fun interview. Great to relive that great run with him. You can find it on the website, tsn1200.ca. He talked about the fact that that game 82, he goes, we didn't play very well. We didn't play very well at all.
Yeah.
We really had no business winning the game. But Mark Stone had a sort of a typical Mark Stone pickpocket goal, right? Picked off a a flyer a puck in their own end and went in and scored to open the scoring, and then Pageau. So you're talking about two of the clutchiest players in Sens history, both scoring goals in what would eventually be that Sens win.
Yeah, and you go back to the first year they met Montreal. It was Pageau with that big goal in Boston. As far as Mark Stone, great hockey here in Ottawa. That accountability was Hammond touched the other day, but I thought down that stretch, JR, playing the best hockey of his career, shooting the puck. And of course, when he got slashed by P.K. Subban in the Montreal series, even when he was had the ability, he just couldn't shoot the puck, right? I mean, and it was just taken away, and that question was asked the other day, if he had stayed healthy, what would have happened? That certainly felt like it just kind of took the wind out of the sails of the Ottawa Senators with his injury, and just kind of all of a sudden started to look around and realize, well, we've come pretty far. I don't think we're going to go much further with an injured Stone.
All right, so wrap up the Hamburglar run tonight with us. 6 o'clock will be the face-off time with Dean Brown and Gord Wilson. Game 82 from the 2015 season, and then the last three games we'll revisit 2017 playoff run with one game each from Sens Boston, Sens Rangers, and Sens Pens. That'll take you through the final three games of our best 10 of the last 10 that we've been running for the past few weeks. All right, 6:43, so as we mentioned, Donald Trump weighed in on the world of sports. Well, he weighs in on everything. It's a bit of stream of consciousness if you watch any of his press conferences, which at least he's shown up for every day, like our prime minister. They're there every day. But man alive, it takes on a life of its own sometimes when he goes off the script, which he tends to do quite a bit. But preceding his news conference on Saturday, he held a conference call earlier in the day on Saturday with the commissioners of pretty much every sports league in North America, including Adam Silver of the NBA, Rob Manfred of Major League Baseball, Roger Goodell of the NFL, Gary Bettman of the NHL, Don Garber of MLS, the commissioners of the WNBA, the PGA Tour, Dana White from UFC, Vince McMahon was on the call as well, as were representatives of IndyCar, NASCAR, LPGA, and the Breeders' Cup. So pretty much all the sports that we kind of follow on a professional scale here in North America were all represented on that call. And then he was asked about it, the U.S. president was asked about it at his news conference later in the day about wanting to get sports back as soon as possible.
I want fans back in the arenas. By whenever we're ready. I mean, as soon as we can, obviously. And the fans want to be back, too. You know, they want to see basketball and baseball and football and hockey. They want to see their sports. They want to go out onto the golf courses and breathe nice, clean, beautiful, fresh air. No, the fans. I can't tell you a date, but I think it's going to be sooner rather than later.
All right. So apparently he said on the call, and this is, according to some pretty plugged in people who talk to people who are on the call, it didn't sound like he committed to having anything as far as sports go until August or September.
Yeah.
But one thing he did mention is I think they're really focusing on getting the NFL season started on time. If you're looking, circling one date and plus one event or league, NFL in September, if you had to target one thing, I think that's what the U.S. president would like to see.
Yeah, and you get into that conversation because California's already talked about from state to state, city to city, how is it handled? I think also some comments of not on the call were the NCAA, and I don't know if that's a feeling of, you know what, we really don't need to hear from the president. He doesn't have a whole lot of jurisdiction, but when you talk about the South and some of the things and the craziness of the governor of Georgia last week to seeing some of the people out on Sunday going to church, I wonder as college football returns into the South and as you get into the fall, how that will be handled. So I think that's something also to watch because that is it. Hey, right there with the NFL. I mean, that's as big as it gets when it comes to the sports scene in the United States.
Yeah, you mentioned that the governor of California weighed in on the weekend and he was, I don't know about any timelines. And then Andrew Cuomo, the governor of New York, who, of course, has done an unbelievable job. I mean, if he was running for had the Democratic nomination for president, he may have already cemented himself in. But anyway, he was asked yesterday about Donald Trump's comments from Saturday about professional sports returning.
The president said yesterday that he wanted professional sports leagues to potentially open by August, September, including the NFL. How do you feel about that? Do you think that's a realistic expectation?
I would love to see sports. Sports back, help with cabin fever. But this is not about hopes and dreams and aspirations and what you would like to see. None of us like being here. Follow the data, follow the science, Let the professional doctor, healthcare professionals tell you when it's safe to reopen. And that's when you reopen.
There you go. So that's Andrew Cuomo's thoughts on what the Donald had to say. And listen, Donald Trump, I mean, we saw it as late, I think it was at the same Saturday press conference, which we talked about sports. He, of course, had opined, a week ago or so about wanting to see everything reopened by Easter, wanting to see the churches packed for Easter Sunday. That was going to be the big thing. And then a day later, it was like, nope, we're going to extend everything as far as the shutdown goes to the end of April. And everybody's like, okay, he's kind of coming to his senses here a little bit.
Yeah.
And then right back at it on Saturday, where he was talking about, again, what about if we just did a one day on Easter Sunday and everybody who wanted to go to an Easter service, they would all stand 6 feet apart. Wouldn't that be a beautiful thing, a tremendous thing?
Yeah.
So he kind of went, because he just wants to go down that road. And as it relates to his comments on sports, just wonder, Andrew Cuomo says, follow the healthcare professionals, follow the science. When they say it's good to go back, then it's good to go back. You wonder if Donald Trump will just decide to carve his own path.
Well, it's amazing because you watch this, and if you understand, obviously, politics in the United States, there's Cuomo. You know he'd like to shoot back at the president a lot harder, but he also knows how vindictive he is. And in the time of need right now, he's kind of, you know, he's playing it where the governor of Illinois is not, and he's getting chastised. And as far as sports to church, and that is how political things are in the United States, we're not that far from a November election, and you know who Donald Trump is playing to. He's playing to the religious right and all the other things that go. So the dynamic, as far as Cuomo, what you'd also look, recognize he's the governor of New York. What it may look like in September in New York City for the Jets and the Giants could be completely different for the Buffalo Bills, right? Like, and that's right. A part of every state and every government, how you're going to operate and handle this. A big part of Cuomo's job, of course, is the 20 million people, which is New Jersey, Connecticut, and the metro area, but maybe completely different in Western New York come September.
Yeah. Speaking of COVID-related news, the Ottawa Red Blacks announced on the weekend, well, Ottawa Sports and Entertainment Group announced that all employees are going to be taking a 20% pay cut to kind of get them through. And it was an interesting article regarding Mark Gowdy, the president of OSEG's comments on the weekend, said this originally was going to be the employees. But when we talked to Marcel Desjardins about it, was not going to be affecting the football staff. Marcel Desjardins talked to Paul LaPolice, and the football staff are going to be in on that as well. So it's right across the board, a 20% pay cut to try to kind of get them through they're not doing any business right now, right? They're like a lot of other businesses, kind of just struggling to kind of keep costs down as best as they can.
Yeah.
So that was the announcement on the weekend from OSEG, and in particular the Red Blacks with a pay cut across the board for people who work for the company.
Yeah, and you like to see the teamwork. The fact that the football operations, I've got to think as far as coaching staff, that's a big chunk of salary. So, hey, you take that 20% off. Does that help a lot of other people in the front office and other areas stay employed, went through that in 0405 working for MLSE at a certain point. I think it was 10%. And again, we're dealing with something different when you're talking about Toronto. But to this, I think it's just the spirit of it and people understanding, you know what, if I got to take a little hit here to keep other people, as we get to the other side of this, how much more will people care about the company, care about the brand? So I thought that was terrific by OSEG.
All right. Thoughts on anything we chat about, always welcome. You can text us at 12-1200, standard messaging rate supply. You can email us at mornings@tsn1200.ca and tweet at us at TSN 1200. So lots more on all of that throughout the course of the morning. When we come back, we will talk about a little bit of the news from the weekend. There was a little bit of that. A little football news, a little baseball news, a little bit of hockey stuff as well. So as we carry on this Monday morning, hope you're having a great start to it. You are listening to Sports Radio TSN 1200. Working or whatever, because the evenings, if you work during the day, and certainly the weekends are a lot longer than they used to be, but there are certain things that'll come on sports-related that may help pass the time better than others, and I think tonight is one of those. And this will bring a tear to a few people's eyes, this was supposed to be Masters Week. The Masters was supposed to begin on Thursday, everybody. And this was going to be a long weekend. Like, you were going to be able to, on Friday, because you didn't have to go to work, you're going to be able to sit home and watch the Masters, even though they don't allow us to watch as much as every other golf tournament does. Still, could watch a whole lot, but we can't watch the Masters this year because the Masters isn't going to happen maybe at all or until the fall. But tonight on TSN, in fact, all week, this is Masters Week. They're going to be reliving the final rounds of some of the most memorable Masters of all time. And I thought the best way to kick off Masters Week was to take you back to 2003. I think if you were around then, you might remember what you were doing on that Sunday afternoon.
One of the toughest things here is to read this putt correctly. This one putt for a playoff.
Oh, yes. What a stroke.
It'll be Mike Weir and Lynn Matisse. The first playoff at Augusta since 1990.
There you go. There is Jim Nantz. Hello, friends. Announcing Mike Weir. And if, you remember, right, first lefty to win a Masters, that putt on 18. It kept it tied and sent it to the playoff. That was about, I want to say, maybe a 12 to 15 footer, right? He had to put it on the front of the green. The pin was at the back. He kind of got it up just over the brow of the hill. And it's like, oh, Mike, you're going to three putt this. And then he made that clutch putt right there to send it to the playoff. And of course, went on to win from there. They're going to replay the final round of that 2003 Masters on TSN tonight.
Yeah. And you think about it, you get nervous when you're down $20 to your buddies and it's only 3 feet. Can you imagine being in that moment and the nerves and the feelings? So, hey, that was clutch and well deserved. And got to be honest with you, even last year's Masters was one of the more better memories of Tiger Woods.
Yep.
And we were at the old Sugar Shack. And we're watching the coverage of it. And I remember just rushing home so we could have the opportunity to watch that one as well. So that's where we're left to. And also tonight would have been the grand finale of March Madness. So a few things that would have been going on this week.
Oh, thanks.
We can all replay.
Hey, Wednesday would have been the first day of the NHL playoffs. And the NBA playoffs would have been started on this weekend. This was arguably, and again, not to make everybody even more sad than most people are right now. Yeah. This arguably was going to be one of the greatest weeks in the history of sports. If you love all sports, March Madness. On Monday, NHL playoffs Wednesday, Masters on Thursday, NBA playoffs on Saturday. It was all supposed to begin this week.
No, and you're right. And also, and that is one thing I'll say about the Masters, and even more so in Canada. To me, it was always a sign of spring. And for a city and a country, and especially here in Ottawa, we realistically don't get spring for another month. Just to turn on, and I don't even care if it's a replay, just to see the course of the Masters and to see where other people are living and the fact that they're enjoying nice weather, that kind of warms the heart as well.
Now, what I don't know, and I'll look it up during the break, because you can find all the Masters are all on YouTube, which when you think about how tightly that tournament is restricted, the fact that somehow, some way, they haven't found a way to shut down the ability for all their highlights to be on there, all the complete rounds are on there, is to where in 2003... Would that have been shot in HD, or are we talking standard definition? In other words, three-quarters of your television screen is going to be filled tonight.
Yeah, that's a good question. I have no idea.
HD wouldn't have been around in 2003.
But you can now, and I don't know if TSN did, but you can up the resolution now. So, like you see on old sitcoms like Friends and Seinfeld, they are now in HD because they've been up-res. So I'm wondering if they've done the same with the final round of these Masters.
Well, I guess we'll have to watch and find out. But that's one of the things. I mean, golf is one of those, you know, when you watch it in HD, it's just all sports is completely different now. You watch some of those old-time hockey games they're showing now from whenever, when they're in standard definition, you watch it now, you go, it's almost unwatchable, quite frankly. If it wasn't for the actual play, you know, what happened on the ice, just in terms of the pleasure of watching it, HD has made such a big difference.
Yeah, it really has. Anything that's kind of added to it, you see the old hockey games, how bad the play is, no advertising on the boards. But as I said, the backdrop of the Masters, and as you said, when it's in HD, you can just kind of sit back and enjoy it, even if it is a replay.
All right, sounds good. So we'll talk more about that throughout the course of the morning. We'll take a break at 7 o'clock, get you the latest news from 580 CFRA. And then when we come back, we'll revisit the weekend that was, take a look. And we got a lot of guests on the way today, including Noel Hoffenmeyer, signed his first pro contract on the weekend. James Boyd, general manager of the 67s, about the OHL draft. And we'll talk Eric Macromello, the latest on COVID as it relates to the legalities of sports returning, and of course, Pierre Maguire as well. It's all on the way here on a Monday morning. You are listening to Sports Radio TSN 1200.